Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Well, welcome. Welcome to another segment of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm so glad that you could be with us tonight because this is really going to be a fun show as we explore the world of our pets through intuitive communication. Now, perhaps there are some of you out there who are wondering, well, what does pet communication have to do with the Law of Attraction? Well, I think you'll be very surprised to learn it has a lot to do with it. Remember that thoughts are energy. This is a scientific proven fact. So if you have a pet or animal, you will not be surprised to learn that both of you and your pet has actually matched up to the vibrational energy. Whether you purchased that animal, whether the animal was a stray, or even if the pet was given to you. The point is that there is a reason why you have a pet or animals around you. So this is going to be a fascinating show. Stay tuned. You're really going to be glad you tuned in. But before we get into this, real fast, I want to let you know of next week's show, which also promises to be very, very exciting. We will be having Dr. Mike Kortzen, who will be talking about a new philosophy, the Law of Resistance. Now, I can't speak for you, but I think I could use some understanding on this powerful law so that I can better manifest what I am desiring. I also think that this Law of Resistance could very well be the missing link to the Law of Attraction. So I'm really looking forward to talking with Dr. Mike and getting some more information on this. And I have some really, really terrific shows coming up in the future, like shows for love and romance, energy transformation, dreams, health, and, of course, you know, winning the lottery, you know, or starting a business that it has to do with wealth. So keep on tuning in, and I'm so grateful you have taken the time to tune in, because you just don't know what it means to me, because now Law of Attraction Talk Radio has now been syndicated on a number of internet radio shows and podcasts. So, you know, this is really incredible to me. The show's success is directly related to you, my listening audience, for tuning in and wanting to just get more and more information, and I just love it. I can't thank you enough because I just thoroughly enjoy being here and being able to bring on these guests that not only answers my questions, but evidently answers everybody else's. So it's a thrill for me. And if anybody has any questions about the validity of the Law of Attraction, all you need to do is just take a look at this show, and it proves it works. It works fast. It works better than I could have ever anticipated. It is incredible. So thank you. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I'm now on myspace.com/ Law of Attraction Talk Radio. So look me up and become my friends, because I'm just learning how to do MySpace, but it seems to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, let's move on to tonight's show because it's going to be so hot. You know, what's really, really fascinating is today the universe sent me a confirmation about tonight's show. I just thought this was amazing. I'm sure many of you have received the Parade magazine in your Sunday's newspaper. And did you notice what was on the cover? A picture of a beautiful golden retriever with the accompanying article that says, quote, "How intelligent are animals," unquote. "Science has new answers to questions." The article was very good, but the scientists have found it that the IQs of dogs have actually been raised. Dogs learn by observing humans. Dogs can count. And cats can problem solve. And it said, and I'm questioning this one, an adult cat has an IQ of a toddler. Well, I disagree, because I think they actually have an IQ of a teenager. They're just so smart, they want us to think that they're only like a baby, and they really enjoy us babying them. So anyway, we're going to bring on our special guest to even talk about this. One of our guests hails from Washington State, and the other one right here from Southern California. We're going to open up our phone lines at 5:30, So don't call up until then, because we don't want you to incur long-distance calls, but we will start accepting calls at 5:30. And you do need to call, I'll give you the number here, 718-508-9405. I'll give that to you again, 718-508-9405, or just send me an email at julielawofattractiontools.com, and I will ask your question on the air. So, having said all that, let me introduce Jacqueline Sewell from Washington State, who is a certified professional animal communicator, Heart Talk program, a theta healing practitioner and instructor, and a matrix energetics practitioner. Jacqueline communicates with all species of animals in her private practice and loves teaching others how to communicate with their pets. And also we have Angelica Del Mar, who hails from Orange County, California, and who is a former youth director at a humane society and founded Furry Friends Rescue Organization. And Angelica has developed this most beautiful deck of cards that you can use to actually ask your pet questions, and they can convey it back to you what's going on with them. And it really, I have a set, and it's really phenomenal how well it works. So anyway, we're going to get into that a little bit more, but I just want to say welcome to both of you. You're live on the air.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. So let's start off with the first question. Jacqueline, what is animal communication?
Oh, my favorite topic. Well, we use two-way telepathy, and it's telepathy is an aspect of intuition, and it's our innate intuition that's highly developed. And telepathy takes different forms, thoughts, images, emotions, sensations, sounds, smells, the sudden knowings and inklings. And in animal communication, animals send and receive through any combination of these modalities, and the animal communicator does too. And sometimes it's always tailored to the message. If a sound is relevant, then it's going to come through as part of the communication. And in animal communication, for me as a professional communicator, a consultation is about counseling and problem solving, mediation, using medical intuition to find out what's going on with the animal, mm-hmm. if there's a health issue, and doing energy healing work. And our goal is always to enhance relationships, improve health, modify problem behaviors, explain expectations, like a working dog might need some pointers on scent tracking, the same with a horse in the horse's work. And exploring end-of-life choices, learning about our shared spiritual path, and even getting closure after an animal has passed, because we can talk with them when they're on the other side.
Right. Yeah, I've discovered that myself. When they talk to you, do they send you pictures, or what is the messages like?
Truly, it takes whatever form the content requires. And so I will hear thoughts from them. Sometimes I get specific words. One time a dog said in response to the client's question about, gosh, why did you come to me? Because this person was a professional trainer. And the dog replied, I am her nemesis. Mm. And the client went silent. I thought I'd offended her. And then she said, I say that to her all the time.
Oh, my
God. Specific words come through. And so it can be thoughts, images, emotions, the whole meal deal. And that's where the sensitivity of the communicator comes in, too, because mm-hmm. we tend to, especially when we start out, we have one modality that's much stronger than the others. And many people, if they're verbal, then thoughts come through first for them. Other people, say artists, they're apt to get images first as they're learning. And the trick is to open up all the modalities to make the communication as fleshed out as possible.
Mm. Interesting. Well, Angelica, how can do you read when you give the messages on your cards, which we're going to get into a little bit later, but do you pick up thoughts from the animals yourself?
Sometimes. Some of these cards have several meanings, and sometimes it'll be more clear to me than maybe the client what meaning the animal is sending, or I talk to them so that they can help themselves to figure out the meaning. I want people to be able to do these readings themselves.
I see. That's
and
good.
And boost their own intuition. So I try to build their confidence and draw them out.
Excellent. Very good. What about, I know that you both must be huge animal lovers, or else you wouldn't be doing this, but Jacqueline, how did you know that you have a gift for communicating with animals?
Oh, that's an interesting question, because I had forgotten that I talked with my cats when I was little, until a neighbor who's in her 70s reminded me they had taken her down to my room when I was young and told her, I can get Popo to come. I'd shut my eyes and called to her, and Popo came. And so for all I knew, I was intuitive, often picked up on people's thoughts, but wasn't as aware of the animal part. And so it was after taking an animal communication workshop and having the intuitive abilities open, wide open, that I started down the path. So from there, it was practice, 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 and hundreds of hours of training.
Oh, yeah. And you have gone through a lot of schooling, I noticed.
Yes, that's the academic for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What about you, Angelica? How did you discover that you have a knack? Well, what's really unique is coming up with a deck of cards. How did you know a deck of cards is what it took to communicate with the animals?
It just seemed right and so easy to use. And sometimes people get the messages, you know, looking at the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the text. Sometimes it's just the topic. And it just, I just thought, wow, this is something anybody could do. They don't have to have a lot of skill in communication. They can be even, you know, unsure of themselves at any stage.
Uh-huh.
And for people who have a lot of intuitive abilities, this is just a piece that confirms it for them.
Okay.
They get what they already know. A lot of times everybody says, yeah, I knew that. I just wasn't sure.
So this would kind of confirm it. But I would assume, too, it would take practice, practice, practice to really hone in on exactly what it's being said, right? Or
not,
it's not
really
necessary.
No. Mm. Most people, they come to my booth and they do it once, and it's very clear to them. They get a very clear reading.
Mm. Okay.
Really, very, very easy.
Well, okay. Then let's dive into the cards real fast. Tell us what is the cards, and how do you use it with an animal? You know, how does it
okay.
work?
All right. Well, the one question I get is, does my animal have to be right there? No, they do not have to put their paw or their wing on the cards.
Mm-hmm.
So it works similar to Oracle or Tarot cards in that sense.
Okay.
And want to hold them to your heart and state an intention. You can ask a specific question or something general. What does my dog want to tell me today? And then shuffle really well, and just keep shuffling until your intuition tells you to stop. Some people will hear it, some will feel it. Just make sure you keep shuffling until you just know, and then you pull the top two cards.
And that works.
You've been doing it, right?
Yeah. I had an experience today, but I'll tell everybody in a little couple little moments here. So they do work. The cards are very attractive. They're very, very easy to read. Let's just go on to another topic because I can see already our phones are really starting to pack up here. People are just dying to get in here and talk to you guys. So we let me just talk. Jacqueline, how do you use the law of attraction, or how do law of attraction really fit in with the animals? Do they, of course, they must know of the law. They're trying to attract something to them. How does that work with them?
Well, I can talk. I can talk about how I use it in my sessions.
Okay.
You remember I talked about all the modalities, and something unique about my work is that I really use all modalities instead of relying simply on sending thoughts to animals. And so in law of attraction, it's important to be the change you want. It's important to see it and feel it, know it, smell it, take pride in it, bask in the pleasure of it. Well, if we can go there together, the animal and I, sharing the sense of pride, say a cat, the sense of pride in using the litter box every time, because hey, that's a common call, cats urinating outside the box. If we live the change we want and make it really positive, and we're using all those modalities, that's what it takes to make it real. And then also I use a lot of attraction in that I lay the groundwork for change. If you're emotionally wounded, the law of attraction brings you what you fear and resist instead of what you say you want. And it's the same for animals. So I employ counseling and healing work to create a healthy foundation. And to my mind, animals can attract improved health and high quality of life after getting this healed foundation. And so in that way, the session works for them. It empowers them to attract the positive experiences for life. And another factor is about me as a practitioner, and it's congruence. And I don't think this aspect of law of attraction is talked about enough. So congruence, by that I mean that I align all levels of self, my physical, emotional, and spiritual self, before going into the theta brainwave. And I'm in the theta brainwave because that's the brainwave of telepathy. It's also the state of transformation, spiritual information, and it deep trance states. So at any rate, I go and make sure I'm aligned at all levels before I go into the theta brainwave. And while I'm in theta, I hold that quantum change state, that state where all change is possible, where we can change our everyday reality. And so it's this congruence that makes me effective, because my healing intention's crystal clear. There's nothing in me undermining the change that I'm holding the animal in.
So it's not about the animal?
Well, we can talk about how it's about the animal by turning to a different facet of the diamond. And that might be on the topic of how animals communicate with us.
Yeah.
As mirrors of our energy, for example. There was a human aggressive Labrador I worked with who was clearly acting as a mirror of her human companion. And this dog was only aggressive when her companion, Carol, and that's a made-up name to protect everyone's privacy, when Carol was present. And as it turns out, Carol was very afraid of people. And so her dog was responding to her fear by warding off all people. That was a clear communication, but it was only decoded through the telepathic connection. And so, you know, when we talk of law of attraction and how animals are working with us to help us see what we need to change, that's a powerful example.
Well, you know, in California, and matter of fact, the last couple of weeks, Angelica, you're going to identify with this. There has been a number of dog attacks attacking humans. You know, they're going down the street, and they go up and viciously attack humans. What is that about in the dog world?
You know, I'd have to connect with the individual dogs. A behaviorist.
There's been a lot of them lately.
Yeah, a behaviorist would give you a generalization. I can give you the specifics. And
well, just generalization. What do you think would cause something like that for an animal just to be walking down the street and start attacking?
Oh, there's so many possible explanations. But I can see, I can imagine that they might be responding to some kind of, oh, you could call it archetypal energy of the area, of what's going on. But I'd really have to tune in to give you any specifics.
Okay, so it could be the environment. Could they be feeling the fear of people that
yeah.
slows them down?
Well, here's a specific example I can come up with that where I have tuned in and I've gotten the answer. I got a call from a client whose dog started urinating inside the house. Uh-huh. This was a new behavior, so she knew something was going on but didn't know what. And I didn't know that this client was in the middle of a divorce, that she had huge money worries, and that she hadn't shared with her daughter yet that she was divorcing. So I didn't know the background until I talked with the dog, who said that he was urinating in the daughter's bedroom to bring attention to the fact that the mom really needed to tell the daughter, because the daughter was sensing that something was going on and dreaming of it, yet in her day-to-day, she wasn't hearing why daddy was gone.
Hmm.
And so the dog was aware that she was going to become troubled and confused if she didn't learn about this. And so by bringing this information forth, the client was empowered to work with her own energy and reduce the tension of the household and smooth things out for her daughter. And it's a great example of what looks like a problem behavior is a communication.
Right.
And once the message is received, the behavior can cease.
Well, if Angelica, don't be afraid to jump in here, but you know, what can we do as humans if there is a dog that's coming toward us and it looks like they're going to attack? Is there anything that we can give to them as some kind of a message, something? What can we do to help them? Do we send them love? I mean, what do we do? Do we do anything or just protect ourselves?
Anyone want to jump in?
I'm not an animal behaviorist.
Yeah, no.
But what did occur to me before you said it was send them love. That came to me, and then you said it, so I thought, well, maybe that's right. I wonder if they're sensing things with little, you know, earthquake, seismic type of changes, environmental, cosmic changes, things that we don't sense.
Could be.
If there's been a number, a kind of, you know, if they're on the increase.
Yeah, you're right. That could very well be.
Yeah. In my experience, for instance, I had a cat who sensed earthquakes, and his way of alerting me was to meow and pace incessantly until I tuned into him. And then he'd predict the earthquake, near versus far, underwater versus on land, the severity, and the type of shake, whether it's a rolling or jerking shake. And we tracked the earthquakes. And once I got it and he explained, okay, I'm just showing you that time's not linear. Once I got the message, he resumed his routine. But then after that, then some dogs refused to take walks in our area, and it turned out there were tremblers.
Okay.
And they were sensing that, just like Angelica is suggesting. That's not going to help when a dog is charging.
No.
And
no.
That,
I would just take cover.
Well,
get the heck out of there.
Well, I would run for the hills, but at the same time, if we feel fear, if we react with fear or anger, they get magnified, and the dog's reaction is going to be stronger. And
that's the law of attraction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sending love would be logical then.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do when they're charging, but you know what? That's a good practice thing, isn't it? I mean, something that we've got to learn how to do. Well, let's, before we start taking on callers, because it's getting to that point, let me talk about something that happens to all of us as owners of pets, end-of-life decisions. Now, here, these wonderful creatures that we absolutely have brought in to be a part of our family simply don't live as long as we do. So we have to sometimes do an incredibly painful thing. Let's talk about this for a second. What is it that the animals are trying to convey to us, and in what way would they convey to us that it's time, Mom, it's time for me to go? What are some of the signs that we can look at?
That is one of the main reasons that I created this deck.
Oh, good.
Because that is what people struggle with.
Yeah.
And everybody goes through it. A good friend of mine was going through it with three of her furry companions in a six-month period. That's a lot.
Yeah,
right? That's overwhelming. It's heartbreaking. How do you know? They have three good days, two bad days. Mm. Then, you know, two good days, three bad days. When do you do that? They're out in the wild. They wouldn't have lasted as long, but we're giving them wonderful care and hand-feeding them and everything else. And so the It's Time card was the first card that I created.
Oh.
And then all the rest of them, you know, came to me. But people don't need to panic when they get that card and they have an animal who's not dealing with that. It has many other meanings, too.
Oh, good.
So I don't want everybody sees that and, you know, panics. And it's like, no, sometimes that card is actually combined with the other card you pull. So it's time for play. It's time for water if their water bowl is empty. It's time for cleansing. They know you want to give them a bath or they're working on, you know, their bad habits.
But what you are saying, Jacqueline, what you're saying is that they do know when it's time for them to leave.
They know, and they make choices. One of my most common calls is talking about the end of life choice with the animal, and in some cases they'll say no. I don't want help leaving my body. Now isn't the time. I want to do it on my own. I still have more to learn. In other cases, they'll say, oh, I'm ready. The pain is so intense. Please release me. And here's what I want before I go. Or we'll negotiate a sign. I'd like to empower my clients to see reinforcement in their world that information I've given them is accurate. And so when there's an agreed-upon signal, like not eating for 3 days or the dullness coming into the eyes, sometimes the animal comes up with something very specific and easy to identify, like sitting with a paw on the person's knee. Well, that makes it so they can have a honeymoon before they go because they're not imagining having to deal with the pain or discomfort for much longer. And it makes it so the human and the animal can have special time together. Because the animals sometimes make requests. Let's tell stories. Tell me the story of adopting me and why you chose me out of all of the others. And let's tell stories out of our lives together. And so it paves the way for a sacred time.
Yeah. Goodness. Okay, say we don't have access to you, what can we see, and we don't have cards, what can we possibly see, what will an animal do to maybe tell us that it's time or it's not time? Do we just get these pictures in our heads or?
Listen to your gut.
And listen to your gut.
And
that's
then pair it up with what you're seeing.
Mm.
Yeah, if you're seeing the dullness in the eyes, like they've checked out, or they're looking through you as if they're looking into another realm. Cats often start howling at the top of their lungs because they're howling to the other side. And then the basics of not eating, not drinking. You know what's been most important and a source of pride to your animal companion in life. My cat would never not use the litter box. And so the time when she got so she couldn't drag herself to the box, she had renal failure, that was the end for her. So it's important while they're healthy to create your list of criteria that say this is quality of life for Fifi or Jojo, and then pull it out when you're facing these tough decisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break because after that we're going to come back and open up the phone line. So let's just go on to that.
Be inspired. Gain focus. Believe in yourself. Release those old thought patterns. And shift your consciousness to the I Am Power. Visit LawOfAttractionTools.com today.
Hello there. Are you still there?
Still there.
Okay. I'm still here.
Okay, well, let's see here. I thought I, I never know what I'm doing sometimes. let's go to area code 216. Hello? Hello, are you there? 216. You see, I was getting the people who were before 5:30, but let's try this one from area code 360. Hello, are you there? Hello. Hello. No, we're not. So, okay, that's, well, actually, that's good. I can keep on asking some questions here. They were there, but, you know, if they call in too soon, then they end up either answering something else and forgetting that they're on the phone here. But that's okay. Let's talk about some other things.
Hello?
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 Yeah.
I think I was on mute. I'm from area code 216.
Well, hi there. How are you?
Good.
What area are you calling from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, Ohio. Okay, good. Do you have a question for Jacqueline or Angelica?
Yes. I have three cats. I had two, and then a couple of months ago I introduced a new one. They're all three males, and the two haven't really seemed to put out the welcome mat for the new cat. Is there anything I can do?
Or? Yeah, that's a common problem. This is Jacqueline, and what I often do when working in a multi-cat household where they're not getting along.
Hello?
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 I'm here.
Hello? Who did we...
Did we lose Jacqueline?
I think so.
You know what? Is Jacqueline back on?
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Keep on going. I'm sorry something happened with the phone lines here, but...
Okay.
Keep on going. Say it again.
Do you want me to backtrack?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I was saying is that in a multi-cat household, there are often problems with them getting along. And so when I work with them, I give them each a job. And this is something you can do on your own as well, because each cat's good at something. One cat might be the greeter. The other cat might plump you up in bed at night. The third cat might be really good at eating all the flies at the end of the day and helping you with your housekeeping. And so you create a title, and you congratulate them and thank them for a job well done. And what it does is take them out of competition for your attention. Because they can each bask in the glory of what they've contributed to the family without competing with each other.
Okay.
That's yeah. that's a common approach. It is important to check with each cat, because say a cat coming from the shelter might have lost a home and not know why, and coming into a new home, he might want to become king of the roost and push all the others aside for fear of losing his new home. So there are many, many reasons for what's happening in your home, a fear of loss, that's where reassuring them that they're in the home to stay, everybody's loved, there's enough love to go around, becomes important. And I often ask the cats already in the home to teach the new cat the rules of the household.
Okay.
And so that acknowledges them as seniors in the home. They've been there a while. They know how things work. And causes them sometimes to take the new cat under their wing.
Very good. Did you have any more questions? Because we have a couple of other callers. Is that all right?
Thank you.
Good luck
Thank
to you.
Thank you. We have another caller from area code 206.
Hi,
are you there?
Yes, I am. My name's Susan.
Hi, Susan. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Seattle area.
Oh, good. Hi.
Hi, Jacqueline, it's Susan.
Hey, Susan, hi.
Hi, I am a client of Jacqueline's and have been for many years, and just wanted to call in and talk about some experiences I've had. It doesn't necessarily correlate with what you've just been talking about, but it had to do with the end of life issues. Is that all right for me to talk about that?
Oh, please.
I've had five cats in the last, many years. I've gone to Jacqueline for advice for about 5 years now. And at first, it was definitely for fun, just checking in, and I was so impressed with her abilities. But as the years passed, I've had, some tragedies around my kitties, and I've lost three kitties in the last year, my companions. And one was particularly traumatic in that, that's George saying hi, one of my kitties here. And one was particularly traumatic in that a dog, I remarried, and my husband's dog killed my cat.
Ooh,
and it was a terrible experience, which I will not dwell on here, of course. But the cat actually pushed out a screen. We kept the dog very separate from the cat because we weren't sure about what he might do, and the security was very tight around here. But he actually pushed a screen out of the window one night and got out, and the dog attacked and did kill him. And I was clearly traumatized by this event and was very guilt-ridden and had a lot of horrible feelings around what had happened, and not just grieving, but just a lot of guilt and a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called Jacqueline about a week later once I was able to actually speak without sobbing. And Jacqueline helped me, she actually contacted Niles, who's the kitty that was attacked. And miraculously, the message from him, and surprisingly to me, was that he wanted to die, that he had had a disease that had not manifested enough so that I could notice this. I didn't know he was ill. And he did not want to be the lowest cat on the rung, with his illness and weakness. And that message, and so he popped the screen out. He was trying really hard to basically commit suicide, for lack of a better word. And this information, it was very strange and shocking, but it also started making sense, a lot of sense, when I looked back at his behavior. In the last month, he kept, every time the dog would get near the door, which we had gates and doors and everything, he would present himself there. I'm like, what are you doing? And it just started making sense, his behavior, trying to get out. And I can tell you that this information, and then I had this horrible feeling toward the dog, but Jacqueline contacted the dog as well. And he saw the cat as a rabbit. I mean, it wasn't like, he's evil or something, which I of course was frankly feeling a lot of hatred for the dog and horrible human feelings that would come up in a traumatic situation like this. But the information that Jacqueline, he had connected with these creatures was so, it really freed me.
Uh-huh.
To grieve and just to feel, the pain of grieving and losing my beloved pet, but understanding, helping me to get over feeling like I had some control of this, that he had made this choice. And it just took an incredible burden from me. And I'm forever grateful for that intervention.
Interesting. So there is, they really do know then. They must be more intuitive than we ever could be because they know and they're not afraid of death. They must see death in a totally different light.
Well, Jacqueline assured me that, you know, he had been, and she used the words cleansed from the horrible trauma because he did. I, of course, rushed him to the vet where he stayed for 3 days with all the life support. And I didn't know at the time that, you know, he would have really liked to have checked out that first night. But I couldn't, couldn't let him go. And I was having so much guilt and agony over this experience. But I just want to thank you, Jacqueline, for, you know, getting me through lots of things. And that was a really traumatic one for me.
That's a great story. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go on to another caller here because I've got a couple more. Let's see what happens here. Whoops. Well, maybe we won't. There we go. Hello. Hello. Okay, we won't. You know, sometimes, there we go. Are you there? Area code 360.
Is that me?
Yeah. 360, you got to tell me.
Nobody asked me before.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Whidbey Island.
Oh, okay. And you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. I also want to talk about a service that Jacqueline gave my cats. Hi, Jacqueline. This is Karen.
Oh, Karen. Hi.
Hi. When we were moving to Whidbey Island, we were told not to let our cats out because there were owls and eagles and coyotes all over the place. And we had just happened to meet Jacqueline at a workshop that we were all at, and we asked Jacqueline, could you help with that? Could you talk to the cats about being careful? And she had indicated that she was able to actually give them an experience of what it was like to be chased by coyotes, for instance, or to have an owl swooping down on them. And so when we moved here, we had her talk to the cats, and she talked to them separately. We have two cats, one older one and one younger one. But the older one, she did, when Jacqueline came to the house, which is unusual for her, but she did this particular day, when she walked in, Annie walked over to her and sat down next to her. And Annie, that day, had been telling me, I want out and I want out now and you can't keep me in anymore. So Jacqueline shows up and gives Annie the experience of being chased by a coyote. And Jacqueline at one point started laughing, and she said, Annie just told me that's quite enough of that. But the result was, and she also did this with our younger cat, Puck, the result is I watched them walk around the yard, and they walk under things. They're very cautious when they're outside, and there have even been times when Puck, the younger one, who just so wants to be out in the morning as soon as possible, will stay in because he senses the danger that's out there.
Oh, very good. Very good story. Thank you for sharing that. And Jacqueline, and you could probably get this information, but how can we convey the picture to the animal? Do we just sort of tune within and provide this image? Will they pick it up?
Yeah, they will, and on our end, to get it so that they will listen, because we can seem like a radio tuned to 15 stations simultaneously when our minds are busy and we're thinking about our to-do lists and what have you. And so it's important for us to quiet our minds and unify what's in our mind with what's in our hearts. And when we are in that quiet place of love, then we can send an image quite easily. But you want to send an image of what you do want rather than what you don't want.
Good point.
Because they don't see the X through the don't. And so if you don't want your dog jumping on the couch and sleeping on the couch, they're not going to see the international symbol for don't. So don't imagine the dog on the couch saying, don't do that.
Well, what would you imagine?
They'll hear, do that. And so instead, and this is law of attraction again, because the universe doesn't hear not. Instead, you say, please stay off the couch, and send images of them looking happy and satisfied in a favorite sleeping pace in some place you desire.
I see.
So we're very good at sending images, and so if we send the image of what we do want and send it with love, then we're quite effective at getting through even without training.
Interesting. Now here's my little thing that's going on. You know, I have all of these cats in my backyard.
Oh, yes.
They're strays. But, you know, it's like and I live in a regular neighborhood. But I have this deck, this huge deck that all the animals crawl underneath. So I guess it's a gathering place. And I always give these stray and felines and feral cats food and shelter, especially with the weather. So I've had up to like 10 cats, and I've taken the females and got them spayed or neutered. So they become so accustomed to my place, and I know that since I only have males now and the females have been neutered, the colony will soon be vanishing. But what I'm really attracting now are other animals, and I can't figure this out. I have got possums and raccoons. I've got a family of raccoons. And so, you know, and I'm just going, oh, my God, you know, the baby raccoons and the mother and the father and the teenager, it looks like. And I'm just going, oh, my goodness gracious. So I'm out there today, and I'm using Angelica's cards out there. I'm saying, you know, I've got to send a message to these raccoons that, you know, you really need to move on down the road. You know, somehow move on down the road here, not in my backyard with all these other cats. And here's the message I got from the card. The first card had to do with the environment, and it was just like it was too difficult of an environment. And the second one is about, wow, we really like it here. We want to be adopted by you. And I'm going, oh, no.
It's all the love you're putting out.
Yeah. Well, you do have...
You're attracting them.
Yeah, you have a blazing welcome sign over your house. You know that, energetically speaking.
I know. So how do I send the message? Okay, yeah, we love you. God loves you. Okay, now move on down the road. How do I send that to them? What's the picture? How do I get that message across?
Yeah, well, in my experience here, when raccoons started taking up residence at my house, it actually worked to say with conviction, there's no food for you here.
Ooh.
And they moved on. And it's that conviction, because your heart is open to them, and you love them, and they're darling. And so that can energetically and emotionally send a bit of a mixed message.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if you can find the place where you can send them on in the face that they'll be okay.
If I can send them on in the face, okay, because they are finding the stray cat food.
They're finding food.
They're eating that, and they're becoming quite comfortable. So I need to send them a message.
Yeah, and food's a pretty strong enticement today.
I mean, could I send them a message that if they don't leave, I'm going to have to trap them and separate them?
Well, it can come to that, because what they're seeing is their needs are met with the food. And all of my work in behavioral change with animals is founded on offering them a better alternative, a better way to express themselves, a more adaptive way to get their needs met. And what do you have to offer these raccoons in order to get them to move on? And that's going to be a stumbling block.
Yeah.
I've worked with rats and getting them out of the house and offering them all the food scraps they want on the heap outdoors. Well, they say, bird in the hand. I'm living in your walls, and I'm eating well, so why should I move? Yeah. And so sometimes it does come down to that ultimatum. And the ultimatum is, in 1 week, I will set out traps. You'll have to move.
So do I need to stand there and actually put that picture in my mind while I'm looking at them? Is that how they're going to get the message?
Yeah.
How do I do it?
Well, that's one way. I quiet my mind, and you do that however it works for you, meditation, a walk in nature, calming music. And then I actually sit down so I don't have to keep my body from falling down. But that's where I unify what's in my mind with what's in my heart. And imagine, say, building a bridge between me and the animal. And then after I've built the bridge, I send love. And then I send the image and the intention, the message that I want to send. So that's one way of doing it. That's the quickest way to explain. At this point, I connect through spirit, through the pure creative force, and then to the animal, because I feel that that also brings a much higher level of guidance into our work.
Hmm.
But that can take a little bit longer to explain.
Yeah. You know, well, I'll just have to keep on practicing here to get those raccoons to leave. But what I have noticed is that they are not fussing with the cats.
Oh, that's
at
great.
All. And they're not mean or destructive at all.
So they're coexisting. They've got the spirit of the house there.
Yeah, they are very, very, I mean, very happy. So I, you know, I don't know, but I just, you know, I can't have them multiplying.
Yeah. Well, think about what will motivate a change in behavior.
Okay.
In this case, a change of location.
Yeah, okay. Probably a place without cars so they won't get roadkill, huh?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, that's what I'll do. Good. Well, you know, so Angelica, your cards did work.
Yay.
Did, I mean, just amazing. Now, I did it with my other cat, who's an indoor cat, and the message I got, oh, yeah, everything's fine. I'm here to make you happy, and that was kind of cool. And then I moved on directly to the raccoons and got a totally different message. So it's very interesting how it works. And just setting that intention on who you're talking to evidently goes directly to them, whether they're around or not.
Yes.
That's amazing. So you did good work. You were really inspired by your inner being to create that, and you did a good job there.
Thank you.
And by the way, too, I want to let everybody know that you can get these card decks. It's listed on my host page, but you can get them very simply by going to www.angelicas.com, and you can get those cards right there. And there's a whole bunch of other places that she has them for sale, and so you can converse with her there. And also, Jacqueline, her site is very easy. It's J. Sowell. Did I say that right?
In my family, we say Sowell.
Sowell, okay. Sowell.com. And go there. She's got a quite interesting website. It has so many interesting things about the spiritual. And we didn't really get to touch base. We've got a couple more minutes. Let's talk about why those animals are with us and how they really relate to us and our well-being. Can we delve into that real fast?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Just right off the cuff, my cat Orlando was with me from the time I finished graduate school.
And this is Jacqueline, right?
Yes, this is Jacqueline,
okay.
To about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a strong and fierce cat, and fiercely loyal to me. And so she was with me when I opened to animal communication, went through my training, and went through the intuitive opening, you know, the medical intuition opening, and then future reading opening, and on and on and on. And she was always there to say, go deeper. You know, you think that's crazy? go deeper. You think that's way out? You think that's scary? Keep going. And that was her calling, to walk this path with me and lend me strength and confidence and courage when I faltered. And that's why it was so important when she was dying to take her time and take me off her to-do list and simply bask in the pleasure of being. So some animals are so called to a shared spiritual path where they're promoting our well-being and development that they set aside a lot of their own needs.
Hmm. Interesting. So then it's true then, my statement is that we're kind of a vibrational match to that animal that comes into our life, or else they wouldn't be coming into our life. And is it necessary to know the reason why they are in our life?
I think you'll do the work, whatever it is, and walk the path,
mm-hmm.
whether you know or not, and yet it can help us be more purposeful if we do know. And I certainly saw my cat. I always loved Orlando, but I saw her through new eyes when I realized how sophisticated a being she was, and that on her own, she was a light worker.
Mm.
And so she had her request to be left alone during the day where the other cats couldn't get to her because she would be out of body doing other work, her world work.
How neat. And Angelica, did you had a story about one of your favorite animals too that really served to enlighten you, huh?
My the dog who is my current companion, Sarah, she is the most joyful being I have ever met. Most people who meet her just can't resist her. So one purpose for her is clearly to bring joy to me and others. And the other thing is that she's a very wise, advanced being, and so she came along to help guide me on my spiritual journey and promote that. So she's just amazing. She's also, you know, wants to please, so was very trainable, loves to go everywhere with me. And she's irresistible, and I know has so much to teach me and tell me about.
Well, you know, what's really amazing, and I don't understand these animals, I mean, because we have to really work hard at loving something unconditionally, and for them it's so natural. How is it possible that they can turn around and love us? I mean, we're not in the best of moods, but you know what? We can always count on their love.
Yes, I think they never forget their connection to spirit.
I agree.
Not as much in their ego. They are sometimes, but we forget that.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And
they never do. They're always connected, so it's like God shining through them to us.
Yes, they love when we communicate with them. This is normal for them.
Yeah, in fact, some animals are upset because they think we're purposely not acting on their wishes and ignoring what they're saying to us, because they don't realize that we don't hear.
Oh, wow. How fascinating. Wow. Well, this was certainly a fabulous show. I've learned so much, and I can't thank you enough for coming on and taking the time. And remember, for all of our listeners out there, visit Jacqueline and Angelica and get their service and products. I can guarantee you it's going to make a difference in you communicating with your animals. It really will. And again, go to my show notes and you'll be able to get all of their contact information.
And Julie, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank
it was
you.
Delightful. And on behalf of all my furry friends in my backyard, thank you. They appreciate you coming on. So until next week, all my listeners, just remember what George Carlin said. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. So good night. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.